Good morning. It is very good to have all of you here this morning as we have come to celebrate the life of F. Glenn Pfeffer. I think most of you knew him as Glenn or Uncle Glenn or one of those terms of endearment from over the many years. A life well lived and a life of service. And we want to commemorate him and his life and his impact on so many of us this day. And as soon as this service is over, there is a meal being prepared, even as we speak in our fellowship hall. For those of you that have come, we want to invite you to stay and join with the family. Maybe you'll have some additional memories to share. You'll have an opportunity to talk about how Glenn impacted your life or how you were able to do things with him over the years. And I'm sure the family will just love to hear those stories another time. So please take time to share with us after the service today. You have enjoyed for the last half an hour or so the beautiful playing of Our Piano by Mary Miller. And I want to just personally thank her because she did a wonderful job. And you just started practicing yesterday. Was that right, Mary? No, she's laughing over there. Okay. But we want to thank her for that, those beautiful numbers. And she'll be leading us throughout our singing this morning. Also, Glenn had a very, very dear friend. His name was Harold Yeager, or not was, it is Harold Yeager. Harold's behind me here. And Harold had some surgery earlier this year, but he got in his car today and came, and he's going to give the eulogy this morning during this service. And we're so appreciative of you making the effort to be here. I know you had to leave your wife at home because she's still dealing with some health issues, but I told Harold he looks 10 years younger because his hair's cut a little shorter. It looks more gray than white, and that's wonderful. And we're glad that he's here this morning. And to all the people behind the scenes, from Rita over here to my right, to the guys in the back, Dale Miller's running the sound system this morning, and Ike Tritt is by his side and making sure everything runs smoothly today. I've been asked to begin with a little bit of a devotional today, and so I'm going to read for you from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6 and reading to verse 8. Paul is writing to a dear friend of his, Timothy, and he writes, "As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but to also to all who have longed for his appearing." There is something about funerals. There are days like this when we memorialize someone that we've loved. I'm not quite sure how to describe it, but it is a time when we kind of think about life, and we think about it a little harder than maybe we normally do. We remember those that have passed before us, and maybe some of them were also Glenn's friends, but others in our own lives that had an impact on us. And we think about our own fragile existence, that we're here today, and just like that, we can be gone tomorrow. It's also a time when we think a little bit about people in our own lives, the people that we love, the people that we support, the people that sometimes there's tensions with. And it causes us to reflect on what's really, really important in life. Glenn was a dear person. And he had his fingers into so many different things across different areas of life that he touched a lot of lives. But I guess as we come this morning, we're here to remember Glenn and the blessings that he brought into our lives, but it's really an opportunity for us today to think about our own lives. How are we in standing with God? How are we in standing with our brothers and sisters around us? What kind of relationships do we have? How are those relationships this morning? Are there people that we are all, are we good with all of them, or are we at times finding ourselves struggle in those relationships? Is there work that we need to do to build up those relationships, to restore those relationships, to bring that word that Paul talked about so many times, reconciliation, to those relationships? All of us today are running a race. Paul spoke about that in his words to Timothy. And all of us, whether we know it or not, are running a race. We may be running towards something. We may be running away from something. But each of us in our own minds has an idea where it is that we think we are running. Some of us run away from family. Some of us run away from our past and those pains. Some of us run away from illness or brokenness. Others of us run towards success. Others of us run towards wealth. Others of us run towards family or relationships. But one day we all end up here. The race has been run. We've hopefully put up the good fight. We've finished the course. But have we kept the faith? You see, all of us are running a race, whether we know it or not. And that race is to ultimately end by us giving an account to our Creator. What we have done with the life that He has given to us, and what have we done with His Son, Jesus Christ? We may come up with all kinds of ideas why we think we're running either towards something or away from something. But ultimately, in the end, we run towards our Creator. We run towards His Son, who revealed the Creator more fully to us as He walked and died and rose again from this earth. Puts me in mind of a little story. Some of you, I can tell, are old enough to remember this. I'm not that old. I've read about it, okay? John Aquare was a runner in the 1960s. He was a distance runner, a good distance runner from Tanzania. In 1968, you remember 1968, don't you, Harold? They had the Olympics that year in Mexico City. The altitude in Mexico City was very high up, and they figured a lot of the runners would have trouble breathing, and you know they'd wear out quickly. But Aquari was one of the 10 or 12 runners that was thought to have a good chance to win the marathon race. The very last race of the Olympics, kind of the ultimate race that everybody wanted to see. He was not favored in the top two or three, but he was definitely a good runner and thought to have a chance if things broke his way. The official fired the gun to start the race. They ran a lap or two around the track, and then they went out into the city of Mexico to run the entire race of the marathon, 26.3 miles, I think it is. Not too far into the race, Aquare began to cramp up. He had a lot of trouble in those moments. In fact, he had to stop. He had to have medical assistance. In fact, the EMT people there wanted him to stop, but he said no, he needed to continue on. And so he got back up and he ran, and now he knew that the chance of winning the race was completely gone from him. But he continued to run and run and run, and eventually about two-thirds of the race got finished, and he looked up and he saw that the first group of runners was now in sight. He began to run a little harder. He got up to a smaller group before the front group, and he clicked heels with another racer. And they went flying in different directions, and they both hit the ground. The EMTs came again. This time, Aquare's legs were all scraped up. Blood was oozing out. The pain was terrible. And they tried to tell him, you need to stop. But Aquare said, no, I need to keep running. So they wrapped his leg. And he took off again. This time, the injury was too much. It became too difficult for him to run. And so he hobbled the last third or so of the race. So much distance had been created between him and the front runners, and then those that would come and pass him, that 2 hours after the winner of the race came into the stadium, Aquare came into the stadium. The last runner in the marathon. Hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of people were stuffed into that arena cheering on the first finishers, but by now there was only a few hundred people left in the stadium. And they thought it was first a joke as they saw the man coming in, hobbling, the bandages oozing with blood as he made his way around that last time around the oval track. He crossed the finish line, and you know how those reporters are. They came up real quick with the microphone and said, tell us, how do you feel? How do you feel? And then somebody asked the question that was on everybody's mind. You had cramps. They told you to stop. You had an accident on the course. They told you that you needed to stop. Why in the world did you keep running? Aquare looked at the man and at all of the reporters there and said, my country, Tanzania, sent me 5,000 miles not to begin a race. My country, Tanzania, sent me 5,000 miles. Anybody want to guess? To finish a race. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, we all run a race. We may think it's running after this or that, or running away from this or that, but our ultimate goal is to run into the arms of the one who has created us and to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord, because you have run the race. You have fought the good fight. You have finished the course. And now, for you is the crown of glory, of righteousness. And not just for you, but all who finish the race." Glenn ran the race. He ran it as best he could. I believe this morning, I believe that really almost the better part of a year ago now, he ran into the arms of Jesus. The question for us who remain is, what kind of a race are we really running? Towards who are we running to? And how are we running such that we will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Father." Amen and amen. There is a song that the family would like you to sing. It is called "In the Sweet By and By." And now there's something I need to tell you about this. This hymn is so old that it isn't in some of our hymnals. Okay? So we put the words on the screen this morning. We're going to ask you to stand and sing "In the Sweet By and By."
Thank you.
Brother Harold Yeager is going to come and deliver the eulogy. It's a joy to be able to share the pulpit with him. A few years back, he shared some very kind and encouraging words for me, and I never forgot them. And I've been so appreciative of him as he shared those things with me, and really of a ministry that has been a wonderful ministry that he has given to so many people over the years. So, Brother Harold, please come.
Town west of Chambersburg called St. Thomas. And I say that because you might wonder how in the world Glenn Peffer and I ever got together. So I'll give you the reasons for that. But do you know why we've gathered here today? We've gathered here because we know that in the Psalms it says these words, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." What a good testimony for F. Glenn Peffer. I always wondered what the F stood for, and so I asked him one day. You know, lots of people did a lot of things. In our denomination, people used to use first initials, first, middle, and then their last name. But F. Glenn Peffer, he said his first name was Franklin. But we gather here today because last year, about this time, if many of you probably were there, when we gathered out at the farm along the Yellow Breeches, and we celebrated Glenn and Shirley's 70th anniversary. Little would I have ever guessed in that August day. It was a nice warm day, a big tent there. And there was Glenn made sure there was plenty of ice cream around because he was in the dairy business. But who would have guessed that about a month later, a little more than a month later, I would get a call from Alan. And I look on my phone and I can see who's calling me. And I said, "Alan, I hope you don't have bad news." And he said, "I do." Mother and Dad both were in the hospital with that respiratory disease that's going around right now. And the disease took Glenn's life. Shirley remained in the hospital. And when we gathered out here at Mount Holly for the graveside service, Shirley couldn't be there. So she spent almost a year waiting for something like this to bring closure to somebody who's been part of her life for so long. Yes, I do wonder at the markings of God, how things happen. At one time in my life, I was an artificial inseminator. I went around from farm to farm and inseminated dairy cattle. And then I retired from that job and got into education and took a job in Tuscarora School District, which is in our county. And a man in this county, Cumberland County, who was worked for the same company, did the same thing I did. His name was Jacob Coick, and some of you probably know Jake. But he called me one day after I was in education. He said, "Are you aware that there is a reunion of the artificial inseminators in Lancaster County?" And I said, "No, I wasn't." He said, "I'll make sure you get an invitation." So I got one and began going to those reunions. We had the first one at Muddy Run Park, which is down toward Quarryville in Lancaster County, and I don't remember meeting Glenn there, but there were lots of people there that I had worked with. But then we moved the venue to Iron Springs Park, which is near Columbia, Pennsylvania. And I sat across a table from this guy one night, and we began talking, and I found out that he was a member of the Church of the Brethren, and that he had had a farm and a herd of cattle. So that's how we met. But there was something special about our meeting. In fact, Glenn told me one time, he said, this was in God's plan. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, it says, "I know the plans that I have for you." And one of the plans that God had for me and for Glenn was to gather together in a friendship. And then you have to wonder what keeps people together. Is it the names that you know in common? And I'm going to be a name dropper here, but I'm going to drop some names. Willis Ritchie was my boss, not my immediate boss, but he was a field supervisor, and Glenn knew him. David Yoder was the manager of Southeastern Pennsylvania Artificial Breeders, which later became Atlantic Breeders and has now gone to Select Sires. But Dave Yoder was the manager, and Glenn certainly knew him. Creedon Bixler, some of you would know him, and I think his name was Bob Lehman, who managed the office here in Carlisle, and Jake Coig. And there were some other names, too, that we all knew, so we could talk about people. Some of you might have known the name Jake Amick, worked for Allen Dairies. He was a name that I knew because Roger Amick was in management in our organization, and Jake worked here for Allen Dairies. And my guess is that stirs somebody's memory. Jack Remsburg, who was a livestock photographer out of Middletown, Maryland, and whose family I had a wedding for in Chambersburg one time and got to meet Jack. I'm not sure he's still alive, but certainly Glenn knew Jack Remsburg. T.K. Knitterhouse, big dairy operator in our area, has a concrete business, but he had a big dairy farm, and Glenn knew him. The Backus family out of New York State, who had Glenn's dispersal sale. And Bob Rumler, who came from Franklin County and was now the executive secretary for the National Holstein Association with headquarters in Brattleboro, Vermont. I have to tell you an interesting story about that. My wife and I got married, and we got married at Branch Church of the Brethren, which is near St. Thomas, and took off on our honeymoon, stayed here at the Embers our first night on our honeymoon. But the next day, we went over to Messiah to worship. There was a friends of ours worshiped over there at the college, went over there, and then we headed up north to Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania. And one of the first pictures I took of my wife on her honeymoon was standing beside a bull that they had in that bull stud named Whirl Hill Kingpin. And Glenn knew all about that bull. And he knew Bob Rumler, who was national executive. A couple years ago, we took a driving trip over our honeymoon. We just retraced our whole honeymoon, and we went up through Brattleboro again. We stopped. Bob Rumler is now in eternity, but his successor was John Myers. So we went in and we met the man. And we had done that on our honeymoon, too. We went in, met Mr. Rumler, had a nice time with him. So dairies in general were something we could talk about, Glenn and I, and John Deere tractors. If you ever watch Shirley mowing, she loves to mow lawn. And guess what she uses? It has to be a John Deere, green and yellow. I believe green and yellow. And we would talk about the Church of the Brethren. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Glenn. He was born on a Tuesday. I always wonder what day of the week people come into this world. May the 3rd, 1927, at Mechanicsburg near Churchtown, Pennsylvania. He went to school in Mechanicsburg, and probably something that Glenn would talk about pretty often was he was bullied in school. Today, in education, if you do to somebody in education and it was reported, you could be in serious trouble for bullying. But they told him he'd never amount to anything. Glenn told me that. He would never amount to. Can you imagine? Somebody said that about F. Glenn Peffer. They didn't know the man very well. During the time that he was growing up, Glenn suffered from polio. I had a cousin who did the same thing. In fact, it seemed to run through the family, several of them in the family. And this cousin of mine is still alive, but she suffered from polio, spent her days at Elizabethtown in an iron lung. And Glenn was separated from his family for a good while. But he came back out of that situation able to walk and do. Somewhere along the line, he met a lady named Shirley Brindle. In 4-H, I asked him one time when I was visiting with him, how in the world did you ever get together with Shirley? And and they married in 1951. He became well known in Holstein circles, Holstein cattle circles. Now, for those of you who are city people, that's the black and white ones that you see out here in the fields. So I just thought you ought to know that. He went on. He didn't finish high school, but he went on to educate himself. He would often go to Penn State. They had something at Penn State called short courses. Glenn would take them. Courses in genetics, courses in production, milk production, courses like that. And he got that education. But he also became active with Southern Pennsylvania Artificial Breeders, and then became a member of the board there and on the sire selection committee. And I thought it was really interesting because there was a family in New York State called Kellogg. That was their last name. And they had a bull there that the sire selection committee, including Glenn, went to see the offspring of that bull. And they were big animals. This bull sired very big daughters, very upstanding type. They were the picture of a Holstein cow. And Glenn said, I only had to take a look at the offspring to know that that bull needs to come to southern Pennsylvania. His name was Osborne Dale Ivanhoe. And believe it or not, I haven't memorized many registration. He was a registered animal. And I haven't memorized many registration numbers, but I can still tell you that his registration number was 1189870 because I wrote it enough times in the breeding receipts. But Glenn was responsible for that. And it was a very responsible position. That bull has gone on, for any of you subscribed to Lancaster Farming, Farmshine, or any of those kind of magazines, recognized, I think it was last year, somebody back here said today, you can never take the farm out of the boy, and that's correct. Even in all the midst of everything else that I've ever done in life, I still have a real interest in farming. But that bull has gone on to become the most influential bull in all of the Holstein Friesian breed across America and into other countries. I'm not sure when I started visiting with Glenn after I had met him down at Iron Springs, but he was retired, and I guess I was retired and serving different churches, but Glenn and I really hit it off, if you know what I mean. We really hit it off. We could talk about all those people we knew in common, bulls that had been successful, what his part had been in doing that. And he went on to become a very successful dairy farmer, many years having the top herd of cattle in Cumberland County. Now, one of the interesting things was I married the daughter of one of the men who had the top herd in Franklin County, and Glenn knew him. He didn't know him well, but he knew him. He knew the name anyway. His name was Nathan Lehman. But we talked about cows, we talked about people, and we talked about church. What I learned about Glenn Peffer, the man, he was pleased with his life accomplishments. He took great pleasure in looking back and thinking about all that he had succeeded in doing. And he even had, I think it was a lady named Corman who painted a mural in his silo. The barn is gone, or mostly gone where he milked, but he has a mural on his silo of his dairy herd. He cared about his church, and it hurt him when he saw things going backwards in this congregation. He was a member of this congregation here at the Church of the Brethren, and it hurt him. He gave a lot of credit for his success in the dairy industry to his wife, Shirley, who's sitting back here. And I remember hearing this story. I always think people's lives, there are sad times, there are miserable times, there are good times in life. But after they had that sale, that dispersal sale, I forget what Glenn said to Shirley. And this is kind of an interesting little sidelight. Shirley hit him. She didn't like what he said. I think he said something about buying some more cows or maybe something like that. But anyway, Shirley hit him. And I always thought that was kind of a humorous side of his story. He liked sincerity in church leaders. He was a person of strong convictions. If you saw his obituary in the paper, you would know that. He had a Trump hat on. Somebody gave me a Trump hat one time, and they said, we want you to wear this to church. I said, I will not do that. But anyway, Glenn was not ashamed that he was a Trump supporter. He was good in religion. He knew his Bible. He was good in business, and he had strong convictions about politics. He loved being at home along the yellow bridges. In fact, he did a landscaping thing before the anniversary, planted all kinds of flowering shrubs, put a bridge in across the little part of the yellow bridges there, and it was my pleasure, my joy to walk over that. I'm not sure how many times Glenn called me, but I believe he spent his last days being very fond of planning that anniversary celebration. I would guess he called St. Thomas at least a half a dozen times, said, Harold, I want you there. I want you there. Well, I couldn't turn him down anyway, even if I wanted to. I couldn't do it. But he loved that area there. He loved attending services wherever I pastored. I was like bad money. I floated around. I knew school superintendents in Pennsylvania didn't stay very long in one place. So I tried to do the same thing with preaching assignments. I preached at Huntsdale. Most of you know where that is. I preached at Shippensburg. And those are the two closest churches. I preach here occasionally when I was invited to do that. But Glenn always came. And when it was here, he and Shirley would always take Laverne. That's my wife. And she's not here today because she fell. She fell and broke a bone in her back, and she's really miserable today. So she couldn't travel the distance to be here. But anyway, Glenn and Shirley always took us over to Cracker Barrel, and I think they always ordered the same thing, a Reuben sandwich. Both of them did that. My favorite story of Glenn, so many favorites of visiting with them and being with him. My favorite story was one day he said, I want to show you the corn crop. And I think John Stamey, who's back here, had his farm under cultivation at that time. But you know, Glenn had, he was a Lincoln man. I kiddingly told Shirley today, I know she has a Lincoln wheelchair. But anyway, he had a Lincoln, a green one. It's one before this one he had. And he said, I want to show you the corn crop. So he got me in that Lincoln. Now, that's a Lincoln's a pretty fancy car, I always thought. But he got me in that Lincoln. We drove out through the cornfield to look at the corn crop. But I also learned a lot when I visited with him about his benevolent nature. You know, and it's in his obituary, he provided a venue for a black church out of Baltimore to come up and baptize. And in the early days of that, Glenn and Shirley let their house and their bathroom open so that people could change clothes after the baptism immersions there. But he did that in great joy and great love. He liked to be down there when they were doing that. He participated in milk giveaways. I know you've had some in this area. I don't know where they all were. We've had a number of them in our area, and they've changed into food drives now with milk. But in the days whenever he didn't have any cattle, but he went with somebody else, and they partnered, and they put down thousands of dollars together to give people a jug of milk. He didn't make a big deal about that, though. He participated in those milk giveaways. He helped people secure medical treatment when they weren't able to financially afford it. And I'm guessing there could be somebody in this audience that Glenn paid for your doctor bills. I don't know that, and you don't have to tell me. But I'll tell you this, he paid for mine. I'm being treated at Fox Chase Cancer Center in Philadelphia for a blood disease. And Glenn said, Harold, I want you to talk to a doctor in this area. And he said, I'm going to pay for the visit, the office visit. I'll make the appointment, and all you have to do is go. He has some medicine I think you ought to be taking, and I'll pay for that. I can't believe he did that for me. I mean, we were friends late in life, but he did that for me. And I believe he did many other sharing things through this church and through our denomination that impact the world. I kind of think that's the way God would want us to give. You know, in the book of Matthew in chapter 6, here's a story. The people who are big and fancy, well-to-do, would give a $1,000 check, but they would hold it up and maybe kiss it goodbye or whatever before they dropped it in the offering plate. And Jesus said, don't be like that. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So I think that was the way Glenn handled life. It brought him joy to give and to be part of that 70th wedding anniversary. Now I'd like to turn a little bit more spiritual, because also in the book of Matthew, it's not my favorite Bible book, but it has a lot of good accounts in there of what Jesus did and how he reacted. But Jesus told a story of a great judgment. I want you to think about that, because he just used sheep and goats. And here was the deal. He said to the sheep, come, and I want you to hear that word, come. Go into the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the beginning of time. And they said, well, why should we do that? He said, well, because I was in prison, and you came and visited me. I was sick, and you came and visited me. I didn't have clothes, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And they said, but when did we do that? And the master, the great judge, responded, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And hear this word. Then he looked at the goats and he said, depart. Depart. Get out of here. And they said, he's going to send them to a place that wasn't very nice. And they said, why should we do that? He said, because I was in prison and you didn't come to see me. I was sick and you didn't visit. I needed clothes and you didn't give me anything. I needed food and you didn't give me anything. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. And they said, when didn't we do that? And he said, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. Come and depart. So I thought about that, and I'd like to read a scripture here out of the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things have passed away. And then on down he writes, he says, write these things down. Because what I'm telling you, the angel is talking to John the Revelator, what I'm telling you is true. It had been interesting to hear the conversation between God and Glenn when Glenn drew his last breath. You know, we can see that in the hospital when we're there watching. They'll have the monitors up on you all over the place. You can see what happens. The breathing gets less and less. The heartbeat gets less and less, and eventually flatlined. That's what we can see. What we can't see is what's on the other side, what Brother Doug was talking about, that crown of life being given. You know, it would have been interesting to hear God say to Glenn, well done. You done good. That's not correct English, but it's correct in what God is. Well done, Glenn Peffer. You've done well. Enter into the joys of your Lord. The reason I say that, because Glenn's last days were not really good. He had mobility problems. He had pain, lots of it. Couldn't sleep. Couldn't do a lot of things. Imagine where Glenn Peffer is now, today. Amen.
Crowd this size, there's many of you, I'm sure, that have some stories about Glenn. We want to give you an opportunity to take a few minutes and share some of those stories, maybe how he influenced your life, all the way from getting a steer down here to covering medical bills, to welcoming you to his and Shirley's farm and the joyous afternoons and evenings you spent there with him. And we want to just give you an opportunity. If somebody would like to start, you can raise your hand. We have a microphone here, and we'll see that you get that and let you share with the family today. So who's going to start us? This gentleman over here.
My name's Jay Buck Swisher. Glenn and I knew each other a little bit, and then I started swimming at the YMCA. And Glenn swam all the time because of trying to keep his body and stuff in shape. And he always threatened to cannonball me, but he never did. But I retired from the phone company and became a staffer for the Congressman Platts in this area, and then retired under Congressman Barletta. Two of my favorite people who would come in was Joe Buck, a lot of you guys know Joe, and Glenn. And they were always a little concerned about what the Congress was doing for the farmers. And it got to the point that a lot of times they went along with me to farming things when the congressman couldn't make it. And when I'd walk in with a congressman, people would know him. But when I walked in with Glenn, everybody knew him. Everybody. And to touch on the milk thing, Glenn saw a load of milk being dumped on the ground. And he gave me a call, and he said, this has got to stop. We got to help the farmers. So he bought 500 gallons of milk, and at New Hope Ministry, we distributed 500 gallons of milk. That rolled into the next year. There was a new food bank coming to Dauphin County. Bought $2,500 worth of milk. Along with it, the Dairymen's Association got involved, and they provided a milk cooler for the food bank. Well, this milk primed the food bank. The milk itself went to all the camps that were just starting in the area. It was right as school was letting out. They could come in and get as much milk as they wanted. But that food bank now has a steady flow of milk from the Dairymen's Association volunteer. Glenn passed away in October or September. And Alan and Shirley, some other folks, Chester Rada Ball, want to keep it going. So around February, Tim Tebow does a thing for called Night Out, or Special Night, for special needs kids who are going to go to a prom. Well, in this case, with the COVID involved, the church couldn't accommodate the facility for it, but they set up stations all the way around. And through the efforts of these folks to keep Glenn's and the milk thing flowing, all the special needs people and the caregivers were given farm show dairy milkshakes. Then, just recently, the farmers market on Holly Pike, where Allen Dairies used to be, it's a real nice little farmers market. And they're struggling. In fact, some of with COVID, there has some bills and stuff to pay. So we decided we'd use that. 500 gallons of milk were given away that day too, and along with the people donated $200 to help with the farmers market. And Glenn very much was tied in with the farmers. And to go back to your thing on Ivanhoe, Larry the Cable Man had a show that he went through America pulling out America things. America things, okay. And one of the farms that he went to was a dairy farm in Iowa. And I was sitting there, thank God I recorded it. The farmer was explaining to Larry that they were milking 7,000 cows and they had 9,000 cows to keep the operation going. And he said they are all offsprings of Ivanhoe.
Oh, wow.
But I'm sure with what with the milk giveaways and stuff, the domino effect that Glenn has caused just in that area is unreal. But he was always a special friend of mine. And I was the guy that we were always doing the mega stuff.
Who's next? Sir, did you want to say something? Did you want to say something? Okay.
I'm a member of this church, and I've known them for a long time. I was one of the ones that was fortunate enough to have a family member baptized out at the creek at Glenn and Shirley's place. My son, how many years ago? 25 years ago? Went out there with two other members, two other kids here from Carlisle to be baptized out at the creek. And he's in Virginia. My son's in Virginia now. And I said, do you remember when you were baptized? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, the memorial service today is for the gentleman whose farm we went to. So that's something that'll always be a part of our family, of remembering that. The other thing is, coming in here on Sunday mornings, we always had Glenn and Shirley back there saying good morning. And there's been an empty seat there. Not only you, Shirley, for when you weren't feeling well, but I always looked for Glenn and his happy face. And I do remember, I can't remember what it was. Something was wrong with me physically. And he investigated and he printed out pages of stuff suggesting what I should do to take care of it. And I didn't realize that that's the kind of thing that he did to other people. So maybe if I had taken his advice, he would have paid for my doctor bills. I don't know. So he was a sweetheart.
Thank you, Rita. Who's next? Young lady over here. Margie.
So I'm a niece, Margie, and I can speak for our family that I look back on all of the picnics and bringing the family together and how much family meant to Uncle Glenn. And I think it instilled in us a connection with family. So I have so much to thank him for. I remember him encouraging me of a mother with six sons and seeing those six little boys running around, and he said, "You should be a millionaire." And I'm like, a million? You know, I'm changing diapers here. But it's like, he encouraged me in business. He encouraged me that to have confidence in myself. And as he got older and he couldn't walk as well, and Aunt Shirley would drive the car, they would come out to the farm. And I might not always have been there, but Uncle Glenn one time brought Trump hats. And he brought enough for all the boys and to hand them out. He was just somebody that put a smile on our face and a belief in the farming. So he loved to watch the boys and the grandchildren and everyone. I can speak for all the family, but I think they need to speak up themselves about the fun times we had in the creek and just him loving to see the grandchildren and his nieces and nephews running around. So I thank Aunt Shirley for opening up her home and the land and Alan and Patty and all the family that included us in that.
Very good. Did you want to hand that back to one of those children that you want? No.
My name's Annette, and I'm a niece as well. The things I can remember, I think two of my brothers, we were five kids in a short period of time, but two of the kids, the boys, would go out and go to Glenn and Shirley's, and they would take them for a week, and they would get to work, I guess, in the barn and different things. I don't know, but they had fun. I can remember getting up on the hay bales whenever they would put them in the barn, we'd climb up. I can remember we would go there fishing, and I can tell you where the holes are, the fishing holes, because he would tell us, and we would fish. And we were little then, really little. The 4th of July picnics, we always look forward to those. I think we are probably one of the very few families that we all know our cousins, and we were there with them, and then the cousins had kids, and I think that is a special thing to me. I think that's about it. He welcomed everybody that ever came there, always.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I just had some memories get triggered, and one of them was, I'm Carolyn Mitchell, Peffer Mitchell, and my father was John and brother to Uncle Glenn. What I remember as a child was going to the Christmas parties at Grandma and Grandpa's farm back in Churchtown, and all the uncles and aunts would be there, and they do a gift exchange. And I had a brother, Scott, who had spinal bifida, and just a really special person. And Uncle Glenn and Aunt Shirley would have a heart. They had such a heart for Scott. And I remember as a little girl how they would bring extra Christmas presents for Scott. And what that spoke to me as a child, that they cared so much about a little boy who had a handicap. And I know Uncle Glenn had felt connected to that. He probably saw himself in Scott, but the volume of Christmas gifts that they would give him and how much that meant to not only Scott, but to me, that they saw him and cared. So that's an old memory that just now popped up as Annette was talking. And the how much Uncle Glenn cared about people's health was amazing. And I happen to be an RN, and felt like I feel like I have some basic knowledge, but Uncle Glenn had absolutely no respect for my knowledge. And when I would visit them, he invariably would pull out some of his magazines and catalogs. And one of them that he absolutely loved was olive oil. And he's right, there was some value in olive oil because I started using it. But whatever he believed in, he would preach it to people, and he was a ambassador for whatever he believed in, and especially health. He really valued that. So thank you.
I remember Uncle Glenn as a very welcoming person. I remember swimming in his creek with my mother and my brother. It was a really good time, and it's really sad to see him just not here anymore.
Mm.
Well, he's in a good place now, and I will always remember the memories I had with him in Ice Creek.
Thank you. Over to your left.
I'm not really good with talking, but I remember going over to Glenn's with my dad, and just the stuff that they were talking about, crazy. All the Trump, everything. I saw him smiling. Everything was awesome. I can't really remember it, but it was so long ago, and I'm just glad to have the memories of Glenn and all the memories.
I think we're seeing a theme here across the generations. Very good. Yes, go ahead. This is Glenn's sister, right?
Yes, I'm Mary. I am the youngest of seven. And I would just like to, so many things have been said about him that are so true. And I enjoyed visiting Glenn and Shirley after they remodeled their kitchen. The windows were so wide open, you could see the beautiful property. And his trees that he planted, I think it was 175, am I right? Yeah. And Shirley was out there on a golf course the day I was there watering these plants. And it's she's just wonderful, I'll tell you. And her fruit salad at our gatherings, you could not beat. And there were just so many good memories. And the one thing I'd like to say that I learned from him, when we had funerals in our family, he would often tell me, I am not spending money on flowers. I am going to give my money to the undertaker. And that's what he did. We had two burials in our family alone, and he gave generously to those. And I just want it known that he was from the heart. When he gave money, he didn't want his name moan. He didn't do it to have his name put up on a billboard. He didn't want popularity from it, but he gave out of the heart. He had love, and that's the most important thing out of, what is that verse that Pastor can tell me? There is a verse that says, love is the best of all things. And that's what I will remember from him. I learned a lot of vitamins, too. I mean, he was good at that. If you had something wrong, you called him, and he knew what to take. I mean, he should have been a doctor, as knowledgeable as he was. And I thank God that we had him as long as we did.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think you're thinking of. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Yes, sir.
I'm Steve. Okay. I'm one of Glenn's nephews. Okay. I was the fortunate one when I was a kid to be able to go to the farm over the summer for 2 weeks. Okay. As a kid, I looked forward to that. You know, when school was out, I was always asking my mother when I was going to be going for these 2 weeks. One of the things, though, is they get up too early for me. It's like 4:30, and Shirley would try to wake me up in the morning to go out and help on the farm. Well, I never made it. But I made sure in the afternoon, what they did the afternoon milking, that I was there, and I got to do the bales of hay and all that, throw it down the chute, and feed the Holsteins. That was so much fun to me when I was a kid. And then I got to go on the tractor with them on a lot of tractor rides, okay? And back then, them tractors, to me, weren't safe. I had to hold on for dear life. But Glenn made sure that I was going to be okay. But that was a scary moment for me. But especially some of the hills he went up, you know? I'm looking down, I go, whoa. But Glenn Shirley had a few farms, and I got to see the Steer farm, and I got to live life with him. It was so much fun, and the memories, you know, back then as a kid, you take it nonchalantly and suck it all in, you know, but then, you know, it hits you in moments like this, you know. So I'm very thankful and humbled, you know, with the time I spent with Glenn.
Thank you. One in the back. Guy's got a cow towel, a cow tie on.
Yeah. I was out mowing my mom's yard, and people that know mom's yard, it's like 20 acres. And there's a lot of time to think out there. And a thought kept coming back to me all the time. And Dad always did things out of the box. And he wasn't afraid to do it. You know, one year, we grew tomatoes. Now, we didn't grow an acre. We had 30 acres. And you know, Mother Nature, you can't count on her to water the 30 acres of tomatoes. So we somehow he got some irrigation system. We dropped it into the Yellow Breeches, ran the pipe. All his farmland is across the road. So we ran it through the stormwater drain underneath State Road, ran it back there. Irrigated the whole field. You had migrant workers from Adams County come up, pick the tomatoes. We ship them down to Biggerville, ended up in Hines to, you know, ketchup. That's not a common thing with Cumberland County farmers. One year we rented next door neighbor's farm, Maslin's. I think we had 80 acres of sugar peas out there. Now it's only about this high. I think your peas or beans or something like that. But harvest time, the guys from Hanover came up with this harvester, big thing. I never seen anything like it. All that stuff went down to Hanover Foods, processed. A couple weeks later, it was in the grocery stores in the frozen food section. And one year, he got tied up with this guy in Lancaster County, Dr. McCauley, a veterinarian. And they would go out and pick cows, good cows in the whole county, other counties, and they would super ovulate that cow. Kick off all these, and they breed or try to get all the embryos out of these cows, as many as they could get. A couple weeks later, they'll come back, flush her out, be 5, 6, 10 embryos. They had donors for them. They were good Holstein cows, they were yearlings. So the person that bought this cow had a baby in there, a damn good genetic line, and they packaged these things up. They'd ship them out to different countries. A lot of them went to South America, and one batch went to Saudi Arabia. And Dr. McCauley went to along with them every time, just to examine them after they got there and made everything they were okay. And he called Dad back when he got to Saudi Arabia, first call. And Dr. McCauley said, you're not going to believe what the hell just happened over there. He said they had these military personnel trucks back up to the plane, loading them up. There was gate, you know, siding on it. They had people standing around to hold the cows in. Well, they're driving down the road, and, you know, dairy cattle are herd animals. So when one jumped out and started running across the desert, they all jumped out and started running across the desert. That's the first time I think I heard my dad say the F-bomb. He said, those blankety blanks aren't going to get any more of my cattle. But he was always thinking out of the box, and that just made everything else, the dairy operation that he ran, everything else, just come in line. He wasn't afraid to do anything. He'd just go ahead and do it. Right, Mom? So the other day when I was mowing your grass, I was looking at the cow pastures around there. I thought, well, it'd be easy to fence that off. Put some cattle down there. Why mow it? You could graze cattle down here. Then I thought, I know where I could get some buffalo out of Montana. We'll get a bull, we'll get some yearlings down there. We could sell the meat to all the brew houses around town. They have buffalo burgers. It'd be a great operation. What do you think, Mom? Is that all right?
I think she'll have some words for you later.
I think I'm going to catch it. Thank you.
Anybody else? There's a young lady here on my right, your left, that has something she'd like to say.
I know Glenn Pfeffer donated a picture of my mother and her brother, John and Glenn, or John and Almeida. And that picture is at the Cracker Barrel in Carlisle. So I just thought I would mention that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So if any of you are over at the Cracker Barrel, look for that picture. Anybody else? Oh, we only give you one chance. You had your chance back there.
I would just like to conclude. He is our secret Santa.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. You know, it's not in the program, but I'd just like to lead us kind of as a group in a time of prayer. So would you bow your heads and just let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, this is one of those times, Lord, where we pause and we remember and we recall how glorious you are. Lord, there is this great big world that goes beyond our walls, goes beyond our earth, goes beyond our universe. And Lord, you are Lord of it all. We thank you, Lord, for lives like Glenn. And Lord, for all of the ways that he has touched the lives of people for your glory and his neighbor's good. Lord, we pray that as he has entered into his everlasting rest, that indeed he will and know those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enjoy what I have prepared for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the people that have been left behind, whose lives Glenn has touched. He did very often maybe provide a shoulder to lean on, the embrace of warm arms when people were discouraged, and the tender words that people needed to hear when they themselves found themselves in times of trouble. Lord, we pray for his family and friends as they deal with the reality, Lord, that Glenn has passed on. We know, Lord, even a year later, there are still so many memories. There is still, Lord, a sense of longing and loss. But Lord, surmount their their times of struggle with comforting memories like the ones shared today of the man that they loved. Continue, Lord, to guide them by the waters of peace. Anoint them, Lord, with the oil of faith. And strengthen them, Lord, for all the days that lie ahead. And Lord, we will thank you. As we thank you for Glenn's life, as we thank you, Lord, for the ways that he continues through his legacy to touch the lives of others. And Lord, for his spirit in you that will never end. We give you thanks and praise this day. For we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing one more song. It's another song we'll have on the screen for you. It's the song, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. And we'll ask you to stand, stretch those legs out, and let's sing together, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Hear these words of benediction. May the grace and the mercy and the peace and the power of God be with you. May the resurrection of the Holy Spirit remind you of the hope that we all have in Christ Jesus. And may the Holy Spirit, who rests upon each of you who name the name of Christ, uplift you and give you grace and peace this day and all the days ahead. For it is in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit we pray, and we ask his blessing upon each of you. Amen. You'll notice the message there on the board. You're cordially invited for lunch following our time together here.